Good evening, everybody. We're Love trying something a little. Good evening, everybody. We're trying something a little bit different tonight. We are going to stream Lisa Marie Nicole's show, the Rockin' for God podcast, through the Blog Talk Radio tonight and see how it goes. I can't hear it at all. I'm hearing a lot of cracking. I can kind of hear it, but it sounds like every other word is out. Kind of sounds like in Top Gun Maverick, where he's, you know, pretending that his radio is breaking up. I'm kind of hearing it a little bit, but not really.
Sorry.
And now I'm not hearing anything.
I don't know who you are. You want to tell us?
Sure, my next week will be as well as the studio music, and the studio owner here at Green Lab.
This is the first time we've tried this, so bear with us, folks.
Can you hear it now?
Not at all. I thought I was hearing him for a second, and then it went right back out.
Just 1 second, folks. Bear with me.
He cooks better than I do.
There we go. There we go.
You know. let me ask you something else.
Can you hear now, Richard?
I know you play every instrument.
Yes, that's perfect.
What was the first instrument that you learned how to play when you were younger?
The very first instrument I had was something nobody's heard of, probably, was a Magnus organ. A Magnus organ, on the left-hand side, it had buttons that you'd push for the chords. And on the right-hand side, you had the keys, and they were smaller than ordinary keyboard keys. I guess I started playing that thing when I was about 9 years old. Then a little older, I guess maybe 12 or 13, somewhere around there, Mom bought an upright piano with a 5 foot tall, looked like in a saloon from a John Wayne movie, one of those type pianos. And that lived in the living room, and I would play that until I played the keys off of it, you know?
My music director just said you sound very interesting. She would know exactly what you're talking about because she's a concert pianist. So,
All right. I don't think concert pianists ever touched a Magnus organ.
I don't know. We could ask her that one day.
Yeah.
That's what is it? It's an organ.
It's an electric organ that had a little air pump in it. So when
That's
you plug
cool.
it in, you would hear the you'd hear it fill up with air, this whirring sound, and the music of the keys was barely louder than the sound of the air blowing through it. So it wasn't something you would ever hear a record of. It was just an awful
wow.
little thing made for children to learn with.
Yeah. Somebody just asked a question. Shadow Blaze just asked, "What is your favorite instrument to utilize?"
Richard,
in a
are you familiar with that?
Oh my
of,
goodness! Lately,
I am actually.
See if I turn this.
Yeah.
If I don't lose
yeah,
any.
Yeah.
You see the congas behind me here?
Yep.
I've been having a lot of fun lately with Latin percussion type instruments. Then behind me, you can see some guitars on the wall. You probably can't really see it, but there's an acoustic guitar back here, and it has the paw prints, the hand prints of my grandchildren on it.
I saw that.
I wish you
yeah,
see
so the grandbabies just got pop up a new guitar. Over there are a couple of keyboards, a Roland and a Yamaha, and then there's electric guitars, basses. There's even a mandolin, a banjo. The favorite one is whatever the song is calling for at the moment.
Uh-huh.
You know, so if the song calls for banjo, then that banjo is my favorite at the time. Harmonicas. I love the harmonica. You know, I love the blues. Playing the blues is just a lot of fun. Playing Latin music is a lot of fun. Everything like that. I really don't have a favorite.
Well, you know what my favorite is.
Yeah, they
rock,
your guitar,
the
you like the rock. Yeah. Yeah, I have a nice assortment of electric guitars. I have an Epiphone Les Paul.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the affordable, the poor man's Les Paul. And I had it outfitted with Seymour Duncan pickups, which gives it the sound like it sounds like money. And it looks great, but I know the secret. It's really a cheap instrument.
Yeah,
trying to get
the
frame back in the center of the picture after that. There we go.
Yeah, I can see it now. Yeah, I'm sure everybody can see that.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to get off that music question for 1 second, and I'm going to ask you, you're also a pastor at
yes.
church. When did you get the calling to become a pastor, do you feel?
Well, my testimony is pretty simple. I was about 9 years old playing out in the front yard in a kiddie pool, and the girl next door asked me if I was saved. And I said, I don't know. I'm not even sure what that is. She says, well, you better ask your preacher. At the time, I belonged to a denomination called the Church of Christ.
Well, Richard, what do you
and,
think of
so,
Michael so far?
I talked to him. They,
I'm impressed.
That
I'm very impressed.
Christ for our sins. That he was buried.
He seems
he
like
a
real neat guy. And
asked me if I believe that.
Seems like he has a lot of fun
that.
Doing
and
what he's doing.
So. My naive young age.
He
I
does sound like he has a lot of fun.
But we're simulcasting with
then,
Lisa Marie's
arranged for me
YouTube
to be baptized,
channel.
Of course,
and,
the Church of Christ. And
let's get back into it. Listen some more.
Churches baptized by full immersion in water. And so At 9 years old, the year 1976, I was immersed in water, and I guess I was supposed to feel very spiritual. So when some teenage girl asked me, she said, "How do you feel?" I said, "Freezing." Yeah, I'd just come up out of the water. She expected me to feel ecstatic and spiritual, but I was just too cold to feel that. When did I feel called into the ministry was probably at age 11. I began to have a real desire to know God through the scriptures. That was the way I wanted to experience God, the God of the Word, as well as the Word of God. Because God isn't the Bible and the Bible isn't God, but that is the way that we know God, is through how he reveals himself in scripture. And so I started reading my Bible, studying my Bible, memorizing. By the time I was in my early 20s, I had memorized most of what I call Paul's short letters. You know, anything that had less than 6 chapters or less, I'd memorize them word for word. I can't remember them now. Don't quiz me. But back then, I memorized them. And then I felt like I wanted to not just know God, but I wanted to share God, if that makes sense. Knowing God for myself was so wonderful, I thought that everyone would want to know God deeply and intimately and richly. So I made a phone call. I called my pastor. I said, "What do I do? How do I pursue the ministry?" Well, he immediately had me enrolled in some correspondence courses, meeting some people that were influential
for
my life.
Hey, Richard, I'm
going
to type in the
to get me on the road to a good, solid education.
What Christian artist influenced him?
That's all it all went. I guess probably about the time.
Let's see what he's going to answer. So let's stand by.
Well, let's see. I get off the topic. I didn't always know that I wanted to be a pastor. I really thought I wanted to be a missionary. And the reason was, in my Christian school, we had an elective course that was called Introduction to Missions. And in it, we read the fabulous biographies of missionaries, like Hudson Taylor was a great missionary to China. Big, thick book of his life. William Carey was a great missionary to India, and others from all the way back in the 1700s, 1800s, all the way through the modern times. Through Gates of Splendor is a book that told the story of Jim Elliot and others, Nate Saint, who went down to Ecuador and were martyred by the Indians that they were trying to reach for Christ. And I soon just began to thirst to know God in the way that they did, that that passage of scripture, Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." And I felt like that's what I wanted to. And as a young idealistic teenager, I signed up to be a missionary, and I lived on a mission ship for about 6 months. And I found out something about myself. I never get seasick until the boat is on the water. But the minute you get out to sea, I turn every shade of green you can imagine.
So. Wow. Yeah, I understand, because I know that you know this is my ministry also, and that's exactly what I feel like I'm doing, is spreading the word of God and bringing people to God by my music that you've helped me with. And I have a lot of people asking questions here. Hold on, let me go back. What is your favorite memory from being the pastor that you can share?
Right now, just what popped into my mind, because I've never been asked that question before, is a time that I was preaching in a very small little church, and a squirmy little toddler wiggled out of his mother's arms and came running up a platform. And without a thought, I just scooped him up and held him and continued to preach. I finished my sermon while he was just contentedly hanging out there with me holding him. And I'm guessing that little dude now is probably 30 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. But, yeah, that things like that, those are some of the better, greater memories, fond memories of ministry. Really touching people for God, you know, I think that's
true. It's great. It's great what we do. Was there ever a time in your life that you doubted God? And if so, what changed your mind?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Actually, what happened is, there's a little bit of a confession in this, too, because growing up, as I said, learning a lot of scripture, doing a lot of scripture memorization, I thought that I was, I thought I was a theologian. I thought I knew everything there was to know. And this experience not only brought me closer to God, but it also gave me a taste of humble pie. Because the Jehovah's Witnesses came and knocked at the door, and they wanted to, convert me. And so I was listening to what they had to say. And they showed me something that shook me to my core, because I really didn't know all I thought I knew. They showed me John chapter 1 and verse 1 in their Greek interlinear Bible. And the word God in that verse, the word God is in there twice, but the first time it ends with an S, the second time it ends with an N.
Wow.
And I didn't realize that all that meant was, once it was the subject of the sentence, the other time it was a direct object in the sentence. And that's just following proper Greek form. But I thought what they were saying was true, that Jesus is a lower form than God, that God is God and Jesus is a created being. And I didn't accept what they said. I didn't believe it, but it sent me into a tailspin where I began to question everything about my faith. I didn't just question the deity of Christ. I questioned the Trinity. I began to question whether Christianity was really the only viable religion. And I began to look at comparative world religions. I began to search out the history of things like how we came to believe our Nicene Creed and creedal Christianity, things that I really didn't know that much about. In evangelical churches, we really don't look at the creed a lot. We know about them, but it's not a big part of our faith.
Yeah, we pray all the time.
Right. So, yeah, and the Apostles' Creed, things like that now mean a lot more to me because I really had to dig. And so I was at the point where I even questioned the existence of God versus, some scientists who claim that, time and slime are the real heroes of how we came into existence.
Yep.
And so... yeah, I did question. And what changed my mind? The answer is this. I remember being miserable. That's all I could say is I remember being miserable. I've always had the peace of Jesus since I was a little boy, but for the first time, I didn't feel his presence and I didn't feel his peace. And I thought to myself, when was the last time I felt happy? And I thought, when I just simply believe, simple faith, and I said, God, I don't have ironclad proof of all of this. I had to admit that I don't have ironclad proof, but the evidence all points to God, to Jesus, and to his word. And so I said, I choose to believe. I decide to believe based on evidence. Not a blind leap in the dark, but based on the evidence, not ironclad proof again, but based on the evidence, I believe that Jesus, that God is real, that his word is true, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he did die for my sins. He did rise again. And you know what happened? As Paul described it, the peace of God that passes all understanding filled my heart and my mind. And I knew then that Jesus is Lord.
That's beautiful. Yes, he is. And on that note, I am going to play the song that you helped me on. This is I Know You're There, God. And this is a great rock song. And this song is about what we were talking about not believing in God and knowing he's there, but the sounds and everything in this world blocks out everything. And that's what I wrote this song about. And I'll play this and then we'll come back and I have some other questions that people want to ask, okay?
Okay, great. So,
play this real quick.
Know you are there, God. Why can't I feel you near? Mind is so very close. I used to hear you so clear. I don't want to give up on what I know is the truth. Please help to stop the noise that's preventing me from listening to you. Know you're there, God. Sometimes I feel alone, even when I'm not. Thank you.
Wow.
Okay. So.
Yeah, no, I remember.
You remember that?
Doing that song, and I remember putting that synthesizer in there. We did something, because that's not normal in Elisa Marie song, is to have a synthesizer being not dominant. And I've forgotten how the volume of that, maybe that's something Wayne did, because I don't remember that the volume increased on that synthesizer as it builds towards the end. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, actually, you know what? This song has been taken over as the four-person theme song for this show. So,
yeah,
they started using it, and so now I use it because of the song is great for this show and the meaning of it behind it. But I don't want to take up too much time on myself here, but Mike was on that song with me, as he's with all of my songs, and I know you and I have a connection where I don't have to say anything anymore. You basically know what I want. You know my style. You know what I do. And it's, you know, that's how it is. But I wanted you to play something.
Okay.
Can you play something for us?
Yeah. I just want to say something really quick before I do, though. It's not just you and I in the studio. There's Wayne Johnson.
Wayne also, but I meant you're the musician. But also, I want to talk about that after you sing. We're going to get into that, all right?
Okay, yeah, because, all right. Actually, I think I want to play something that's a little bit of a praise and worship sing-along song. One of the things that we started doing around COVID, when COVID hit, was praise and worship outdoors. And taking the gospel outside the four walls of the church building and just reaching people for Jesus. And this little song, it's not impressive. It's been around forever. But it's just so much fun that people enjoy praising along with it. And well, here it is. I've got peace like a river. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river in my soul. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river in my soul. I got joy like a fountain. I got joy like a fountain. I got joy like a fountain in my soul. Hallelujah. I got joy like a fountain. I got joy like a fountain. I got joy like a fountain in my soul. And I got love like an ocean. I got love like an ocean. I got love like an ocean in my soul. I got love like ocean. I got love like an ocean. I love like an ocean in my soul. And I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river.
I was thinking more of a Buddy Guy.
What's that?
I was thinking more of a Buddy Guy.
Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's fun.
Yeah. I know you do a lot more than that. And so let's get into first of all, I want to ask you about your studio. Then we'll get to one. Yeah, when did you start Dream Lab? When did you want to start it? And when did you start getting into producing and all this with music?
I started collecting instruments and equipment probably the year I began recording with Wayne. He had, and he still does, he has a wall of technical stuff that looks like the space shuttle. I mean, mm-hmm. He had all this stuff. And you have to be a rocket scientist to know what all he had. And And so I began buying little recorder boxes that you could probably sit on a desktop and collecting a microphone here and a little bit there. And so I finally was able to open something up to record my very first client of my own in 2004. And the first time I had a computer-based recording studio. And that started me on a hobby that has now become a career. So this is what I do full-time is record music. The church that doesn't pay us. If you think you can get rich in ministry, you need to at least be on television and write a best-selling New York Times book. And then you might make money in the ministry, but you're not going to make money in the ministry unless you're a best-selling author and have a mega church. So, yeah, no salary in small ministry. That's a myth, by the way. But in 2004, I had my first computer and the first bit of equipment, and it's progressed until we eventually rented this 500-square-foot storefront in Fort Ritchie, right on US 19. And we just keep adding things until, you know, we still don't have all the stuff that he's got over there at Ocala, but he's been accumulating a lot longer. And he began with a better budget than we did. So, yeah, pretty exciting.
Well, Wayne has been in business for, what, about 40 years?
Oh, I've been working for him for 27 years working with him. So, and he was at it long before I came around.
And I know that he has worked with also, he's worked with a lot, some major artists that have been out there. And he does a great job. I mean, he's, you know, that's where I go. And I work with you guys. You guys are the best. I put the name of Passion Recording Studios in Ocala, Florida. I don't have the phone number or anything, but if anybody's interested in going there to do any music, Mike is a studio musician, so you can also request him if you'd like. Or if you also want to go to his studio, you said you're off of 19. I know where it is. You're off of 19 in Newport Richey.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's Dream Lab Recording Studios. And
Dream Lab Recording Studio in Fort Ritchie, Florida. Yeah, you could Google us. We're right there.
Okay.
And Passion Recording Studios in Ocala, Florida.
Which is where I go.
Yeah, and either way that you choose, I am the studio musician at both places.
Yes, you are. You do it all. let me ask you. Let me see. I'm going to go back to the comments. I have a couple of questions here. Okay. I have, what is your favorite scripture and that you live by and why?
Oh, gee.
You have to have a favorite scripture. Come on. One.
No, I have this awful thing I have to admit that I did once. As a teenager in our Christian school, a lot of the people would sign their yearbook and they would put a Bible verse next to their name. You know, for some it was John 3:16, you know, put their name down, you know. Christina Smith, John 3:16, or Ted Johnson, and their verse would be Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. I wrote, as a joke, Mike Chauncey, Acts 1:18. And people didn't catch on until they looked up Acts 1:18. And it's the scripture where Judas killed himself and all his bowels ducked out. It's like, why would you do that to us? You're awful. Yeah, it was. That was my sense of humor as a kid. That was terrible. A scripture that I really do live by. You know, actually, there is one verse that comes to my mind that in my prayer time, this verse is something I'm always asking God for, and it's Colossians 1:10, that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why that verse, because it didn't say just what's your favorite verse, but why, is because I don't think that Christianity is a static thing, like you've arrived at some plateau and there you can rest on your laurels. But it's a growing experience, and it's daily growing. And when it talks about walking worthy of the Lord, that's a tall order right there. Walking worthy of the Lord. That means that his reputation is at stake with everything we say, do, and think. And the world is watching us. And then it goes on to say we're walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. It's not what I think is worthy of the Lord. It's what's pleasing to him. Is he pleased? You know, when Jesus.
What do you think about what you're saying now, Richard? Powerful stuff, right?
Very powerful.
This is my.
I think this is kind of the mission of what we're trying to put out is that.
He says, "I always."
It has to be your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, your whole strength. Like you said, you can't get it at a. You're not at a safe place where you can rest.
I'm not always pleasing to the Lord as far as
we're never at a safe place where we can rest.
The glory of God,
right?
And I daily need His rich mercy and His forgiveness. But that's the goal, you know. That's the goal. And then it says, "Fruitful in every good work." So it's not just an attitude; it's action. It's what you really do that you're fruitful in every good work, and then increasing in the knowledge of God. Never become a Christian know-it-all. That's the lesson I learned as a young person that nearly lost my faith because I was a know-it-all. And that's one of my favorites.
That's
Colossians 1:10.
I think everybody knows my favorite, Philippians 4:13, which you helped me write a song on years ago. We did that. That was a long time ago. But yes, that's my favorite also. I live by that one. I have, let me get to these other questions here. You
First Corinthians
that you
4,
mention
1.
Every work, or you did missionary work, right?
I mentioned that I wanted to do missionary work.
Oh, you didn't. Okay.
To me, the modern day heroes or the heroes of every generation are the missionaries. You know, the people that will, you know, leave the comforts of home and go across to a foreign land, learning a language. You realize the commitment that takes. Learn a foreign language. Learn to live in a culture that's very different from your own. Probably give up the comforts that you experience here in the United States to live in a place where they have. You may not have running water. You may not have electricity. You may not have an indoor toilet. You've given up so much. And then on top of that, you have the antagonism of a persecuting government. You know, they're trying to stop you from sharing Jesus. You're probably breaking the laws and subjecting yourself to imprisonment, deportment, or even death. And so, to me, a Christian missionary is a living hero. He or she are living heroes.
Yes, they are. I knew a couple of them. In fact, Brian has family members that were. So I understand what they do. They do a lot for the Lord. And let's see what else I've got here. All right. What is your favorite Christian song of all time?
Jesus is the Answer for the World Today by Andre Crouch.
Yeah, that's a good song.
Yeah, I love that song because it just comes right out without apology and tells us that we are sinners in need of the Savior, and He's there. He's there. He is the answer.
What about, how about, who is your favorite Christian artist?
Keith Green, by far. Some people may not even be old enough to remember Keith, but back in the day when Christian music all came out on little blue cassette tapes, I had a Sony Walkman that I would play those blue cassette tapes until they wore out. Keith was famous for saying things that made you feel like, I love the Lord, but I don't love the Lord enough. I want to serve the Lord. I want to go. He was the one that made me want to go on the mission field. He sang this song, Jesus commands us to go, but we go the other way. So he carries the burden alone while his children are busy at play, feeling so called to stay. He sang the song, how can they live without Jesus? How can they live without God's love? How can they feel so at home down here when there's so much more up above? Throwing away the things that matter, they hold on to things that don't. The world has gone crazy, but soon maybe a lot more are going to know. Because he's not just religion with steeples and bells or a salesman who will sell you the things you just want to hear. But his love was such that he suffered so much to call some of us just to follow, to follow. I know every one of his songs word for word by heart. Yes, I do. And, you know, when you're a kid, you do that. You have neuroplasticity when you're a kid, and your brain can just absorb everything. Now I'm more like Ernest P. Worrell. I have the mind like a steel trap. Nothing gets in and nothing gets out.
Let me ask you another question. What kind of music do you listen to? Do you listen to any other music besides Christian? You don't listen to mainstream music anymore, or did you ever?
You know, there was a little while in my life, I shame to say, that I feel like I kind of backslid. I became very lukewarm in my faith, at least in my heart, I feel like I was. I didn't know it at the time. But I started a little band called the Blue River Band, and we started playing in VFW halls, Eagles halls, and things like that. But I would play things by Buddy Holly, Elvis Presley, Frankie Valli. And we did a lot of the older songs. And I justified it because I was playing for the vets, you know, the old soldiers. Yeah. And I did some country music. Alan Jackson was big at the time. And Garth Brooks, who else? Randy Travis, George Strait. I learned songs, basically either old rock songs or 90s country songs. And I enjoyed doing that. But after a while, I just began to realize that God had given me whatever talent I do have. He gave it to me to share Christ with others and to worship him. And so for me, you know, I don't want to put that on everybody else. But for me, that was what music was for. It's to glorify God. And it's to proclaim the message of the kingdom to others.
Amen.
And when we get to heaven, I think that that's what the music is. You know, the book of Revelation, I don't know if you know this, I'm sure you do, but the book of Revelation is the Psalms of the New Testament. There are more little songs and hymns in the book of Revelation than anywhere else. In fact, the word Alleluia is only found in the New Testament in the book of Revelation. And so music's going to be a big part of heaven. And so, you know, I want to kind of get on board with what we're going to be singing forever.
Well, I feel the same way about that because, you know, that also that's what I do. So I also feel the same way. I know exactly what you mean about that. I stopped singing secular music, stopped listening to it. And, you know, and but I still listen to it once in a while if it's on. But I choose to do this for God because we were blessed with this. We were blessed with this talent to write, to sing, and to proclaim the word. And I don't feel by doing other type of music that's doing that. That's
right.
That isn't. I have a question from John from the Four Persons. He says, are you deeply concerned about the direction music is going in now?
I think music as a whole, you know, has there's a lot more allowance for the culture. Well, music really just follows the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And as the culture becomes darker, and so does the music. I think, though, in the 70s, we had more songs about Satan, you know? We had more Highway to Hell and stuff about hell. And now songs are, but we've always had songs that were about sex and drugs and the devil, you know? 60s. Yeah. And so, you know, we still got songs about sex and drugs and the devil. I mean, it's always alarming to me what people are listening to. I think that music's powerful, and it has a powerful way of communicating. And in my own life, here I am a grandfather, and I still remember word for word the songs that I put inside my brain 40 years ago, you know? And I'm concerned about the music people put in their brains mm-hmm. when they're young, because they'll never get those out of there.
And you're exactly right about that, and so is he, because that's exactly what I feel that we're supposed to be doing. You know, we're all blessed with this, like I said, and this is a ministry to both of us, you know, and this is the way we spread the word. And there is too many dark forces in the world today that are taking over, especially the youth. And that's why I try to really aim my music towards the younger generation, because, you know, I like rock. And a lot of kids like rock. So I figured mm-hmm. if I could combine rock with scripture, maybe I could find some way to bring them in. You know what I mean? Like that.
Right. Yeah.
But you're right about that. It's just, you know, there's a lot. I noticed though lately. Have you noticed lately there's a lot of Christian artists coming out? I see a lot of people doing Christian songs, and a lot of people that I know in the music industry that wouldn't normally do this type of music. Now they're starting to do this. They're starting to write music about God, about something that happened in their life that changed them with Jesus or something like that. And it's great to see that, you know?
Well, okay, so just think about this, the impact that Jesus has on culture. The great paintings of the Renaissance, arguably the greatest time that we ever had for painting and sculpture. What percentage of Renaissance paintings and sculptures is Jesus the theme? It's huge. It's huge.
Yep.
And if you think about music world over, classical music, Beethoven, Bach, Mozart, Handel's Messiah, you know, Brahms, all the great music of that period, how much of that was actually worship? And it was huge. A huge amount of Vivaldi, all that stuff was worship and praise to God. People don't realize that. Then think about our modern, the modern influence. How many songs did the great Willie Nelson sang about Jesus? Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton, in fact, she's on a Zach Williams tune. You know, here she is in the 70s, and she's singing about Jesus. And I remember back in 1979, she made one gospel artist very famous because she sang the song He's Alive. And it was a song about the resurrection of Jesus. Other artists, even the ones that sing about hell, they were singing a biblical theme. Only they were singing from the wrong side, but it was still a perspective. Even artists that have 666 on their album covers are actually giving a nod to the New Testament, because the concept of the mark of the beast and that comes from the New Testament. So even if it's in a negative way, there's still this acknowledgement of Jesus everywhere. Madonna, her song that was pretty much a blasphemy song, I think, about prayer, like a prayer.
Oh, yeah, like a prayer, yeah.
Yeah. There's a cross and a sacrifice and the whole thing. Though the song wasn't uplifting Jesus, it still gave a nod and an acknowledgement that Jesus is huge. Even the Beatles, when they made the statement, what was the statement? We're almost as popular as Jesus, or
yeah,
more popular, whatever
that,
it was
yeah.
they said, and it raised all those eyebrows. We're more popular than Jesus. It just shows you how incredibly popular Jesus is 2,000 years later. And the funny thing is, he never traveled more than 200 miles away from his birthplace when he was on earth. He had a ragtag followers of, you know, tax collectors and fishermen. And look at the impact he's made on the world. He never even had a YouTube video.
I know, right?
Right. Never
well, actually, he does now.
He does now.
He
yeah.
does now. That's what this
yeah.
show's about.
Think about the Think about the impact that his one life has had on the world and on the music industry.
Exactly. And people you will mention, I just pray to God that they would accept him one day. Or
yeah.
would,
well, who was the other, what was that guy? Oh gosh, she's a good girl.
Tom Petty loves Jesus.
In America too. Yeah, so Jesus is all over the music industry. Even the secular songs that aren't about Jesus still give this nod to Jesus, acknowledging that you know he really is something, isn't he?
Yes, he is. We know that. That's why we're doing this, to get everybody else to know that. If I know you do a lot of things on social media, and you, I know you do that. What do you do that thing on TikTok?
Right, Gospel in a Minute.
Gospel in a Minute on TikTok. I do that all the time. If people want to follow you on...
This is my wife, by the way, everybody.
Hi, Joy.
Hi.
So, yeah, she didn't know. She just walked into a podcast.
I just brought a supper. He's eating late for
But you just asked me a question, and I
want to know. People want to – all right, let's get your information together here. So people want to follow you on Facebook. What's your Facebook page?
My name, Michael Chauncey, on Facebook, and I actually have several pages that I manage on there. Dream Lab Recording Studio has its own page, verse by verse of the Bible and different things like that. But
TikTok, what is your handle on TikTok?
On TikTok, if you look up the hashtag Gospel in a Minute, I started about 3 years ago posting videos that take one Bible verse and then bring it to a point of asking you to receive Christ, pray and receive Christ, trust him, repent of your sin and trust him as your Savior. And the hashtag is Gospel in a Minute, and there's hundreds of those little videos. Each one has a little Bible verse and some instruction in there.
Yeah, I follow them.
Yeah.
You're also, you're not on anything else, are you? Are you on any other social media? You have a YouTube channel, don't you?
I do have a YouTube channel, Dream Lab. Let me see what the actual name of that is here. My channel is called Dream Lab Studios.
Okay.
Dream Lab Studios. And a lot of my clients' work is on there.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah, the instrumentation is me, but a lot of times the voice is someone else or the songwriter, somebody else. You'll see, because I usually put the title of the and the person's name.
Well, you also work with Ron Daly.
Ron Daly, yeah, that guy. He's lives in Georgia, and he writes a song every day. Isn't that ironic? His name is Daly, and he writes a song daily. and he's
funny.
We've recorded over 1,800 songs together.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So you're from Newport Richey, Florida.
Well, I'm not originally from Newport Richey. I am from Florida, though. I'm from Fort Pierce, Florida. That's where I was born, but I grew up in Vero Beach, Florida.
That's on the coast, right?
East Coast, on the Atlantic coast.
And is that over by the water? Is that the ocean?
Yeah, it's right there. We weren't right on the ocean. The more you cost a little bit more you it's a little bit more expensive to live right on the ocean, but
I
yeah,
know
we,
it is.
Yeah, we lived where normal people live. Yeah.
So, well, we're getting close to the end here. Is there anything you would like to say? Is there anything you'd like to make a comment about?
Well, actually, I would. I would just like to tell people that God loved the world so much that he sent his son Jesus to be born here on this earth through the Virgin Mary. And she raised him as a child to... He was lived a sinless life. The Bible says he was tempted in all points, just like we are, but without sin. And even though all he did was go around doing good and healing the sick, raising the dead, opening blind eyes, still the wicked people of this world took him and crucified him. But on the third day, he rose again. And he is still alive. He loves you. And if you'll repent and believe the gospel, turn from sin and trust the Savior, God will forgive your sins, and he will grant you the free gift of everlasting life. You don't, that doesn't mean you have to be perfect, because I'm not perfect, and I'm guessing Lisa Marie isn't either. We have found that God is rich in mercy, that he forgives sinners like us, and he loves us in spite of all of that, and we can put our trust in him. He'll answer prayers. I tell you what, I know that he has answered my prayers many times. People very sick, and we've seen God heal them. People in desperate situations financially, seen God come through for them. So, yeah, in the closing minutes, I would implore you to take some time. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you, cleanse you, and make you a new creation in Christ.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Amen. I really had a good time. Mike, thank you very much for coming on. And if anybody wants to get a song done, or if they need a studio musician, Mike is the person. He's great. I'm sure you guys have heard my songs, and he does a great job on them with me. And we have another song that'll be coming out soon. I'm not saying what it is, but it's a surprise, and that's going to be a great one. And I have Andrew Dean that's going to be coming on in March. He's my next guest, and I know you know him also. You're a friend.
Yeah, he is one of my clients here, too. I've been recording some music for him. I haven't recorded all of his stuff like you, but just recently he's been sending me work. Yeah.
That's great. Even if you get a few here and there, right? That's great. But at least people got to get a chance to hear you and know who you are and where you are and how they can, like the people that are in North Florida area, if they want to come to Ocala and go to Passion Recording Studios, or if they want to drive down to you at Dream Lab, what I have up right now, Newport Richey. And that's it. I thank you very much for coming on. You have a blessed weekend, and I will be seeing you soon.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk to you later.
Take care, brother.
Bye.
Have a good weekend.
And the Catholic version of Cypher did a great job.
Lord, thank you. Gift of music, a universal language that transcends barriers. Help us to use it to glorify your name, to find solace during times of distress, and to celebrate your goodness in times of joy. May our hearts always be instruments playing the melody of your love and faithfulness. Amen. Thank you very much, guys, for viewing tonight. I really have a great show. March, I have it down for March 2nd. I have Nashville recording artist Andrew Dean, and he also has recorded with Michael, and he's a great friend of mine, and he's also a very good artist. He travels all over, and I can't wait to interview him. It's going to be a great show. That is next month, March 2nd, the same time, 7 p.m. here on the Rocket for God Network. I thank you very much for joining me. You guys have a blessed weekend, and take care.
All right. Richard, you got any closing thoughts?
I just think Lisa and Mike did a great job. That was an amazing interview. And if anything, they made me want to meet Mike just to spend 20 minutes getting to know him, and he's just an amazing guy.
Yeah, certainly on fire for God, and boy, it just makes you glad that Lisa Marie Nicole is on our side, and she's won many awards, and I'm hoping that she's going to win many more.
She deserves
them. Richard, and you have a wonderful night, okay?
God bless you, John. Have a great night.
Okay.